Today's gospel is found in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 1, and then continuing on, verse 7 to 14 on page 849 in your pew Bible. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have a seat, please. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How should we live? I guess that's the question that I want to raise today. And as Jesus is teaching us, what attitude are we to have toward, about ourselves and toward other people? Today, Jesus wrestles with us with something that we probably all wrestle with, or at least have wrestled with. Find the balance between meeting my needs and getting the recognition that any of us are due for being a servant, and being a servant and saying it's fine to do the things that I do and serving without getting accolades for what you do. He frames the conversation in the story of a wedding banquet, where it is important that he's recognizing it's about humility, and that humility, he says, is more important than being honored. As he says in verse 11, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. A definition of humility I've heard that I really like is this: humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I think that makes a lot of sense. So humility is not, you know, not saying, oh, I'm worthless, I have no value, I am just a bottom of the barrel, right? No, it's just thinking about yourself less. I don't need to be recognized because I did this one thing. I don't need everyone to see it. I don't need everyone to notice. I'm okay with being a servant, and that's actually preferable. Jesus said that about himself when he said in Mark 10, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So before we get into today's gospel, I want to spend a few minutes looking at Psalm 131, which was our call to worship, the verses there. It really shows us how we can see ourselves rightly in God's sight, not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Now, as you read the Bible, there's lots of English translations, and you heard it today from the NRSV version of the Bible. But as you notice, when you compare translations, there are words that stand out a little bit differently because they're translating from Hebrew or from Greek. And as you know, if we're working in another language, there may be many options for how a word, particular word, is translated. So for the Psalm of 131, I really appreciate how the NIV translates it today. This is a song of David. says, "My heart is not proud, and, O Lord, and my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." Now, there are big questions that we do not get to answer and get an answer for. Man, this week, that tragic shooting in Minneapolis at the Ascension School. And how tragic that was, how terrible that is. And those are those big questions like, Lord, why did you let that happen? Why couldn't you have stopped that? I heard, though, on the other side of this terrible shooting, we have a friend of a member of a friend, something like that, or a friend of a friend of a friend, who works at Children's Hospital. And she reported, because that's where the children were sent right after the shooting, the ones who had been shot. And it just so happened that on that particular day, they were holding a training for trauma nurses, and 7 additional trauma nurses were on site there to help with these children and the families who are coming to the hospital. There are also 12 extra people on hand who are called child life specialists who were going to be going to the Minnesota State Fair later that day, but instead stayed around and helped deal with this trauma. It's amazing how God provided what was needed in the midst of this tragedy there at the hospital. That was not planned except for by God that those people would be there. But we still wonder, Lord, couldn't you just have averted the entire incident and not allowed this man to do what he did? To take the shooter out before he did any damage? And we wonder, why does evil so often seem to win? Why did my loved one die? Why did this good person get a disease? But as Job was told in the question he raised about what happened in his life, the Lord said to him, "Who is it that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and make known to me, and you make known to me. Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." You know, there are things that we just will not know. There are things that we just don't have that insight to understand. And if you want to learn more about how Job was answered, it's 4 chapters in the book of Job, chapter 38 to 41. As the Lord explains to him, there are things that we will never know. And can we be okay with that? Can we be okay to still trust the Lord and that he is good all the time, that all the time he is good, even though we don't always see the answers? The posture given in the psalm, back to Psalm 131, is one of contentment in God's care and keeping. The psalmist goes on to say this, "But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." It's a beautiful image of a baby who has been weaned, that doesn't need to nurse to be comforted. It can just be held by their mother and be content. To let God be God, I think that's saying. Instead of what we often do is this, instead of what we often do is this, that God made us in his image and we return the favor. Did you get that? God made us in his image and we return the favor, making God as small as us in our image. But his care, his sovereign care, his will is done in this tiny perspective to allow us to understand that God can be God, and we can be good with that. He says, "Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore." Letting God be God in our lives is the beginning of how to be humble. Humility and pride are really at opposite ends of a spectrum. Pride being over here, humility over here. And all pride is not bad, right? When you've, you can be proud of your kids. You can be proud of your grandkids. You can be proud of something you built or accomplished. And that's not the kind of pride I'm talking about, is that feeling good about something you've done or something someone else has done. It's the negative expression of pride that says, I'm better than you. And you're living in this ideal self that you are never at fault. It's all somebody else's fault. That's what's the basis of all your problems. Pride, according to the dictionary, is the quality of having an excessively high opinion of yourself or your importance. You see that sometimes in those after-game interviews, you know, with pro athletes. And it's pretty clear these days, I see it almost all the time, that the people that are interviewed are really incredible people. They have this incredible understanding about themselves, their gifts, but also lift up their teammates. But if a running back or a wide receiver or the quarterback starts saying, it's me, 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 I, you start to know you could use a dose of humility, because there's a lot of people on your team that just made that catch possible, or just made that play possible, or made that hole in the line that you could run through to make the touchdown. So pride is expecting that you should be treated better than anyone else. And that's where Jesus is going in the teaching today about the wedding banquet in Luke 14. Any of you gone to a wedding lately? No? No weddings in your... A few, yeah. Okay, a few. I know it's a lot of work for the hosts to do this, but I found it really hospitable and nice when you get to the party after the wedding, if there's a nameplate sitting where you're supposed to sit. So you don't have to like look around and go, oh, who should I sit with? Or where should I sit? Or what would be my place here? As a pastor who's given over 80 wedding ceremonies, I really appreciate when there's a name tag, because you don't know what you should do. And so you sit down at some table out in the back if you don't know where to sit. And then maybe a couple times the mother of the bride or the father of the bride would say, hey, come and sit at our table. It's like, okay, sure, we'll do that. But you don't dare sit at that table for fear that all of a sudden somebody else that they want at their table is going to sit there. And so as the pastor, you kind of wander around and you wonder, well, I guess we could sit here. And then if no one's sitting at that table, you wonder, will anybody actually want to sit with the pastor they never met at the wedding? Probably not. So it's just kind of this awkward circumstance. Jesus is saying, instead of trying to be proud or trying to be, you know, important, sit at the lowest place. And then if the host wants to raise you up or bring you forward to a more prominent position, then you can do it. So instead of humiliation, hold on, wait for it, sit at the lowest place, and if you get noticed by your friend, they will come and get you and bring you to a place of honor. So humility is waiting for God to honor us and being kind to other people. I love what Paul writes in the book of Romans in the 12th chapter. He says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Henri Nouwen is a brilliant professor, a pastor. He taught at Yale, Notre Dame. He's called later in his life to live in the La Arche community in Montreal, Canada. And it was living with special people who had mental disabilities or people who were slower or cognitively impaired. Henri tells of a time he received an award for his work and was invited to a special banquet to receive the award. He brought with him Bill Van Buren, which is the picture here you see on the screen. Bill was one of his friends from La Arche. Now, the award was from a prestigious institution. It was a really big deal to get this kind of an award. And when they arrived, the people that hosted it questioned whether Bill should sit with Henri or if he should maybe sit in the back somewhere. and because they didn't want him to be a distraction to the party. But Henry said, "No, no, Bill is my guest, and he will sit next to me." As Henry delivered his acceptance speech for the award, Bill stood next to him and turned the pages of his speech for him. And when he finished, they gave him an applause for the award. And then Bill stood up and sang, "If you're happy and you know it, raise your glass. If you're happy and you know it, raise your glass. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, raise your glass." And everyone raised their glass. That stuffy, proud room of big intellectual big heads all of a sudden was astounded. And they laughed and they smiled. Henry reflected a lot on the experience of living at La Arche with the residents, who taught him so much more, he said, than he could ever give to them. But accepting the call to La Arche made him give up all the prestige and the accolades. At La Arche, he was Henri, not the author of dozens of books on prayer, the sought-after speaker and teacher, not the spiritual giant. He was humble, and he grew in that humility so he could grow deeper. Jesus concludes his teaching with another comparison today. He talks about the one who had invited him. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, invite your friends or brothers, your neighbors. Don't just invite the people like that, because just so they'll invite you to their house later on. But instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. And you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. In other words, don't just invite your friends or those you can invite back who invite you back for dinner. Give without expecting something in return. And one thing I've loved about Shepherd of the Hills is our second Sunday social. It was exciting to hear about that tradition when I arrived here over, a long time ago, 7 years ago. And that's carried on through all these years, where people open up their homes, people bring something to share, conversation happens between people so you can get to know them better, and connections develop between people. It's really a worthwhile Sunday endeavor, because at church we don't always get the chance to visit with people or get to know them better. And so it's really a great activity. And I'll give a little plug for it. If you'd ever like to host a party like that, even here at church, please let Sonia and Lloyd know, because we're putting together the fall schedule. So back from my little commercial, back to the gospel here today. Jesus goes further than inviting acquaintances, like just people that you may not know that well. He says, go to the banquet and invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Wow. Humility over honor. Lawrence was in charge of the finances of his church. He was also a deacon, and there was a great revival taking place all around him. This was Rome in 250 AD. And said that all of Rome was becoming Christians. And as a result, persecution broke out under the Emperor Valerian in this area around that year, 250. Christians who owned property distributed all the church's money and treasures to the city's poor. Valerian ordered all the bishops, priests, and deacons to be arrested and executed. And he offered Lawrence a way out if he could show where all the church's treasures were located. Lawrence asked for 3 days to gather it in one central place. And what he did is he brought together the blind, the poor, the disabled, and the sick. And the orphans. And when Valerian arrived, Lawrence flung open the doors and said, "These are the treasures of the church." Well, The emperor was so angry, he decided beheading was not terrifying enough for Lawrence, and he ordered that this courageous man be roasted on a gridiron. That's how he died, on August 10th of AD 258. Apparently, he even joked with his executioners, "You may turn me over now. I'm done on this side." His courage made an impression that the revival in Rome only increased, and many people became Christians, including several senators who witnessed his execution. St. Lawrence had a profound understanding of the message of Jesus. He understood that the poor are the true treasures of the church. That's certainly been my experience in interacting with the people in the churches in Nicaragua, the poorest country in Central America, and yet the spirit of the churches is joy and generosity, sharing what you have with others, that they may be materially poor, but they are rich in Christ. We wanted to have a meal with them after 1 week of working alongside them in building the foundations of a church. And we said to the pastor, well, we'd like to provide a meal for the workers and have a celebration of what we've accomplished. He said, well, that will cost you a lot of money. And we're like, it's like 10 people, plus our group, 20 people. He said, no, if we were to have a party like that, we'd want to invite the entire town. Yep. That's how they do it. If you have something to share, you share it with your community. It'd be a meal for over 100 people. Jesus reminds us to not think less of yourself, not harsh self-criticism, demeaning self-talk, or false humility that doesn't acknowledge the strengths you have or the good that you do. Jesus teaches us to think of ourselves less. We know that we can find our truest identity in Christ, and we are made in the image of God, and that we're a child of God, and that we don't need to push our way to the front because we know that we're loved. We know that He cares for us and that He will exalt us in His good time. It says in James, to humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. And you will be blessed, as Jesus said, because they cannot repay you. You will be, though, repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Would you pray with me, please? Well, Lord, we thank You that You know us, You see us, You value us. And Lord, the ways of this world would say we need to push our way ahead. We need to show everyone that we're good. We need to show them what we've done and be celebrated for our accomplishments. But Your kingdom work is much different. And Lord, help us to be content, like a weaned child with his mother, to be okay with not being in the forefront or the limelight. And actually, I know that in knowing that the people here at Shepherd of the Hills, we've already made that journey. It happens when a person retires, that they're not valued in the same way they were as when they were employed from their jobs. And Lord, it's good to take a back seat. It's good to serve others. It's good to see how we can be of value as we look to love the people that you bring into our paths. So thank you that you will honor us, but that we are to seek humility over honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.